Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Well, we've got enough f***ing members of staff, haven't we, to do it here. If we don't do well here, we've no chance.
Yeah, perfect. It's got the feeling of a boardroom table, this, hasn't it?
It has, yeah, nice. I've been in a few of these.
The type of place that you would dominate, I would presume.
It reminds me of my first one, my first interview, Gainsborough Trinity.
Was it just you and the chairman, or was it
I went inside, there was a massive table, about three times the size of this. I was at one end, and the two of them were at the other end.
What, shouting across to each other? Do you want the job?
Yeah.
Right, should we get started now?
Why not?
I know, I didn't work that one out. No, my missus could have played against him.
I've got to be careful, haven't I?
Listen, I'm sorry and all this. That's a load of... You've got to die to get 3 points.
Welcome to the Die for 3 Points podcast with Neil Warnock and me, David Prutton. Neil, it's a pleasure, first and foremost, to see you in person.
I know, it's nice to come up here to the big city, isn't it? It always reminds me of when I managed here, you know, with Palace and QPR, etc. So I used to love walking around London because nobody recognised you then, you know, and I used to sit down, put my glasses on and down Shepherd's Bush way around and at Shepherd's Market, sorry. And everybody were foreign. No, there were no English. They were all foreign people coming past in all sorts of shapes, sizes and clothes. And I just thought it was fascinating.
Cosmopolitan, to say the least. That's why we're here, of course. We're in central London. If you can hear the traffic going past or sirens or whatever the background noise is, I think it adds to the ambience, doesn't it, really?
Absolutely.
It's a feeling of authenticity. This is obviously the first official episode. We had the pilot. What was your take on the reaction to it?
Well, Amy liked it anyhow. She's my daughter, she listens to everything.
One listener there, perfect.
Yeah. I don't really ask people, if I'm honest, Dave. I enjoy doing it, and I just, it fascinates me, social media in general.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that people can, so many people watch certain things, you know.
Yeah.
And so I have enjoyed it. I enjoy making people laugh, if I'm honest. Mm-hmm. I think life's too serious at the minute. I think managers are getting too serious.
Yeah.
You know? So it's. Yeah. I think sometimes you've just got to. And I've always tried, wherever I've been, to try and put smiles on faces. Really.
Has that been the MO? Really. I mean, not just as you say, management, but like you say, being in London when you did work down here, enjoying yourself and meeting people. That's always seemed to be the theme whenever we've spoken and when we. I've seen the reaction at the live shows as well. People come out with a big beaming smile on their face, don't they?
Yeah, they do. And I think it's great. My dad used to say to me, you know, when people say you must get fed up of having selfies, and it used to be autographs. Now nobody asks you for your autograph now. So it's selfies, and they always, you know. But my dad used to say, son, it's when they stop asking you. Mm-hmm. That's time to worry. Mm-hmm. Never refuse one. I go back to my Sheffield United days with autographs, and I remember waiting outside Sheffield United for a player to get his autograph. I needed one for a collection, and I waited till about 6:15 after a game. It was chucking it down with rain. There were rain coming all over my face, and the chap come out, and I said, "Oh, I won't tell you his name because it's not fair. Can I have your autograph, please? I've been waiting. I'm sorry, son, I'm late." And he ran across the
straight
road
past.
And away, and I cried my eyes out. I was in short track. I'd only be about 8 or 9 years old then. And I always thought then, whatever happens, you know, I've never, ever forgot that. And I'll never, ever say no to anybody. The only time I would say no is if I was eating with Sharon and somebody tapped me on the shoulder, I'd say, come back later, are you with me? But other than that, I mean, Sharon's getting to the stage now where, do you want me to take it? Darling, you know.
Give us a break.
Yeah.
But it's amazing that something like that has stuck with you, because that is... It's a very formative experience. So would you, with your players as well, if you saw one of them walk past somebody asking for a selfie or an autograph and they didn't do that, would that be something that you'd pull them up on?
I think over the last, I think about 10 years, since Sheffield United, I used to insist that the lads got off and sign a couple of autographs.
Mm.
But after the Sheffield United, probably about 2011-12, QPR was good with my lads. They were good, damn lads, when they got off. But I did notice a big change where the big earphones came on, the music, and they went straight off the bus, straight in the dressing room, and the average fan. Whereas I used to come off last off the bus, and then I used to go round to the fans.
Yeah.
Some would be, you know, spitting blood death at me, you know, and all that lot. And I'd always pick on a... like at Hillsborough, David, I always used to pick on a father and son at Hillsborough. And I used to say, sorry, you're going to go home unhappy tonight, son, but don't you keep your dad's checker up, won't you, you know? And things like that. I used to love that.
Yeah.
Getting off at Millwall and putting my foot down and...
sprinting straight to
the... No. Put my head out, and I think it's on one of my DVDs, whatever, and I put my head out, and you can hear him...
A little
and
booty,
I go, well, that weren't very good, that. I expected more than that, you know? So I do like the rapport of the fans, because I was a fan, and I think it's lost a lot now. There's so much now going off that you forget the ordinary fan, and I don't. I love the ordinary fan. I love signing autographs still for them and doing pictures and all that, because you know that's what it's all about, really. The game wouldn't be anywhere without the fans.
You're absolutely right, and I think we all saw during COVID what it was as a spectacle. It drops off a...
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
Cliff, there was a big game at the weekend with Liverpool and Manchester City. Two of the best, I think, going head-to-head management and teams you'd look at in the Premier League, if not Europe and the world. What did you make of the game, first and foremost?
I didn't think you could take your eyes off the game. I thought it was what an advert for the Premier League. You know, the best league in the world. You would never get two teams like that.
No.
But I have to say, you know what I'm like, David, with referees. I thought that was as good a referee performance as I've ever seen from Anthony Taylor. I thought he did everything right, me. And yes, I could understand both managers having a go because there's so much at stake. But I thought I would have given him 10 out of 10.
You mentioned about the two managers. A lot's been made, obviously, of Jurgen Klopp's reaction to a foul not given on one of his players. And he was very... animated, and that's probably a nice way of putting it. He's since come out and apologised for his behaviour towards the officials. It got him a red card, of course, sent him off. Now, you've just said you can understand the pressure that these men are acting under, or performing under, given obviously how far Liverpool are away from the likes of Manchester City and Arsenal. Can you objectively look at that, and what does that make you feel is what I'm trying to say. You look at Jurgen Klopp acting like that when, as we well know, we've seen times in your career when you've been quite vocal in your disapproval of what's gone on the pitch. Can you see the damage that that could possibly do, given the example that's set? Because you talk about the size of the Premier League, that is beamed to billions of people around the world.
The answer is yes, but unless you've been in that situation, you don't understand the pressures that you're under at those crucial moments. And such a game like that, such an important game with two fabulous teams, managers are like, you know, the only thing I would say is if that was Neil Warnock doing what Klopp did or what Pep's got away with murder for years, so has Jurgen, really. But if that were Neil Warnock, they'd throw the book at me.
Yeah.
The FA would, you know, they'd give me probably a 6 months banner.
So that would be the your kind of reputation preceding you?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. But they're a little bit afraid, the FA, of dealing with the likes of Klopp and Pep Guardiola, you know. I mean, the number of times I've seen quotes from, you know, I remember Pep, I think it might have been at Liverpool, or saying in the paper that if that had been at the other end, it would have been a different decision type thing. Are you with me?
Yeah.
Now, I remember it when I was at Palace with Chelsea, Craig Pawson, I remember all the referees.
You do.
And Scott Dan got booked early doors for an innocuous tap.
Yeah.
And then John Terry cleared one of our lads out. Definite booking.
Mm.
5-10 minutes later, he gets up, John Terry, puts his arm around Craig Pawson, has a nice friendly chat with him. Mm. No booking.
Mm-hmm.
And at the end, I said to him, look, you've all seen John Terry's tackle. If that was one of my lads, he got booked.
Yeah.
Cost me about 15 grand.
Really?
You know, whereas, you know, you just get away with it. If you're in one of the top clubs, they always get away with it.
Do you think there is a bit of that, the kind of big club mentality when it comes to
the top end
of the Premier League?
Not just with that. They also get away with decisions. Mm-hmm. You know, I remember at Old Trafford with Sir Alex, we had a cert penalty about 75 minutes. Should have been a red card. A lad called Shelton were going through. Clear. Kid pulled him down. Mm. Should have been a red card and a penalty, which would have got us back in the team. In the game, I think we were 2-0 down at the time, something like that. I remember saying to Sir Alex, like, after, bloody hell, Alex, that were a clear penalty, wasn't it? He went, you don't get them here, son.
Is that what he said?
you don't get them here, son.
And that's the mystique and the formidable force of Alex Ferguson.
Oh, and it goes right back to Rob Stiles, a referee. When at my first Premier League game at Sheffield United, and against Liverpool, winning 1-0. Gerrard goes through, and Morgan made... Oh, sorry about that, lads. Are we all right there? That's why it's live. Don't cut this, OK?
We're punching microphones now.
So he goes through, and Morgan made a tackle, and he jumped over his legs, and then shot. The goalie saved it, and he gave a penalty. And everybody couldn't work out where he gave the penalty for intent.
For intent?
He come on and said he gave it for intent because he meant no such thing, Keith Hackett said.
No.
But that's what you did. You have to accept that you get away with murder when you play against the big team. The big team, some of the decisions. You saw the Chelsea thing at Cardiff.
Yeah.
2 yards offside. Craig Pawson again. I must try and keep away from Craig Pawson, really.
Or the other side of it is we should get him on and talk to him.
I'd rather not, if you don't mind. Because
that's pretty categorical.
Because I think probably teenagers and ladies might watch this. I don't want any language coming out.
So just to round out the chat with regards to referees, so I've asked you if you can look at it objectively about how it may come across. Given how tough it is, and I've seen little bits because my lad's 10, my daughter's 13, they both play football, and fundamentally without a referee and official, a game doesn't exist, does it?
No.
But there's the reports about how from grassroots upwards there is a certain treatment of referees. It's shocking reading, isn't it? And I think the irony, of course, there was the grassroots football cancelled across Merseyside because of...
An attack, wasn't it, on one of the referees?
Because of that type of treatment of referees.
But David...
Can you see there's a line from...
Well, you can always...
What Jurgen Klopp does to what someone does on a park on a Sunday morning, can you see that?
Yeah, you can always take the line if you want that line. But that's been there since I was a kid.
Mm.
You always got that when I was younger. Mm. It's just that now, you know, everything's blown up and everything's... You know, I've spoken to some of these referee societies that keep coming out of the woodwork, and I'm not a big fan of them either.
Mm.
And they've got faults left, right and centre, but we'll not go into them. But I think that you can understand them jumping on the bandwagon with that And Jürgen was wrong to do it, and so was Pep, really. But
Jürgen has come out and since apologised, hasn't he,
in
the press?
About, managers have been doing things like that. It doesn't make it right, but unless you've been in that situation, you can't understand it. Somebody watching it on a settee can't understand why he's running down the touchline. Are you with me?
Yeah.
Why? I mean, Mourinho used to do that, and one or two others. Are you with me? But you know, they do get away with a lot more. But I've refereed Sunday League. How did you find that? When I loved it, I did, honestly.
But I bet you were the type of ref where you could have a bit of discourse, because I'd learned as I got older, and this is nothing other than common sense. The nicer you are to the ref,
use that word
exactly.
That's not in the rules.
It's not in the rules at all. But the ability to have a chat with the man in the middle, whereas if you gave him a bit saying, well, that decision was crap, and he turned around and said, well, any chance of you finding your own teammate with a pass? So they put you very much back in your place. Yeah. I enjoyed that. And as I got older, bizarrely, you got a better relationship with these referees. Bizarre, right? Treat a human like a human being, you get something back.
Yeah, when my era, one of the best refs was a lad called Bob Mathewson, and he used to be like you, you know, I'd be mouthing off to him, and he'd say, I bet you wish you'd made as few mistakes as I've made, you know, and you loved
it. Which is so true,
isn't it? But I've got to tell you, a few years later, I was saying that referees don't do enough of that. They should talk to players and this, that and the other, common sense and all that lot. But what happened is a few referees did. And then they got reported for saying things to players.
Or being mean to players?
Yeah, no, you know, saying things to players, because some players take any way they can have a go, they will do. So they got stitched up. So then referees realised that some of them thought, we better not get into that, really. But my dad was a Class 1 referee, and he always used to say to me, the best referees are the ones you don't see.
Yeah.
And he always... His unwritten rule was common sense. Mm-hmm. And they say now there's no common sense. Mike Riley is a robot. He has been a robot. He refereed like a robot. I'm sure he could wake up in the morning, and whereas everybody else probably watches things, I'm sure he recited the laws of the game.
Which, ironically, not many players and people involved in football could actually do. The nuances, the kind of minutiae of it, which is probably where that kind of disparity comes in. But anyway, let's move on from refs.
Go on, then.
Let's move on for this episode. We can revisit it in the weeks
to come. I'm sure we will.
We are coming up to just under a month away is when the season's going to stop. Obviously, the World Cup's going to kick in. So the Premier League's going to stop. The Championship's going to stop. Leagues 1 and League 2 are going to be kind of carrying on through that. Given the timing of it, because it's the first time, obviously, that we're going to see a World Cup at this time of year, and injuries that are leading up to it. From an English point of view, we've seen Reece James in recent weeks. We've seen Kyle Walker. He's a big doubt as well. Coming away from that, Diogo Jota was stretched off the pitch as well at the weekend. It could be a precarious time between now and when the season stops. Do you think you're going to see any different approach from players? Are they still going to go hell for leather? Because we're still in the middle of a very exciting Premier League season, Championship season, aren't we?
We are. It's just that, you know, for example, Harry Kane. Mm. I cannot see Harry Kane going on the pitch for Tottenham Hotspur without trying 100% score a goal to win a game.
Yeah.
He's that kind of lad. You might get the odd lad who thinks about is not getting injured, etc. But, I mean, you don't really want them in your squad. You want people who are going to die for you. I mean, Gareth, I think...
Die for 3 points.
Gareth's done it, yeah, die for three. I think Gareth has done a good as job as anybody for that job. I mean, you wouldn't have that job for any old team China, but him, I think it was ideal for Gareth, because I didn't think Gareth was a league manager, but I felt it was just absolutely right for him, with all the young lads around coming, doing what he's done. These international breaks where we have this nations, what do they call it?
Nations League.
I mean, it's like pre-season friendlies. I used to hate them. Mm. I used to send a Mick Jones and my assistant, oh, God, you take it. Take them, because I couldn't get wound up. Whereas a champ, you know, coming into the World Cup, you'll see, I think it's a different ball game, mate. But I think the only problem Gareth has is, not just now, but the last few sort of 6-12 months, is the centre-halves.
Yeah.
I think, there's nobody really that's playing
well. So is that a form thing then? Because we've seen these players perform in big tournaments. So is it literally just form? And does that then show how even the very best players are affected by confidence and
yeah, and also outside influence. I think a manager has faith in, you know, Maguire, for example. Mm. He's always done well for England, and so he has faith in him. But you know, when he's not played for, you know, all season, it's very difficult to go into a World Cup and expect the best from him. You know, the only plus for me at the moment is the performance of Gomez.
Yes.
For Liverpool was outstanding, and he has some pace.
Mm.
And we lack a bit of pace, England.
Yeah.
And I think because we lack pace, it's easier to go with a back three.
Yeah.
With a five, you know, especially the full-backs bombing on. It's easier to do that, whereas I think at times you do have to go to a four.
Yeah.
And I think Gomez showed the other day, playing with Van Dijk, that if, you know, that he can play that role. So I think that's been a big plus for him, for England. Because, you know, no disrespect to the others, but there's nobody really knocking trees down centre-half-wise.
Mm. I'd be intrigued to see how that actually does pan out. It's wonderful because, as you're all listening to this, this isn't just thrown together. We do plan, we do prep.
Who does?
I can't tell you. They're all faceless people that I will give no credit to whatsoever. But there's a wonderful question that we've come up with here. Not a question, it's part of this chat. And
yeah.
The question is whether I have got experience of saving myself for a cup game, which I then said to our lovely producer, Tom, that because I needed to be held for leather in every single game, if I'd have told the manager I was saving myself, he'd have probably sent me packing. Yeah. Nowhere near a good enough player to say I'm going to pick and choose.
Yeah.
When you got your chance, you got your chance. It was the same with training as well. I've got the feeling, given the teams that I played against that were your teams, it would have been the same across the board.
Yeah.
Train as you play. Everything that you do from Monday to Friday has got to be exactly the same as it comes when Saturday comes and you go out and you die for those 3 points. Do you think that'll still be the case at the very top level now?
I think there will be the odd one or two at every country, really, when it gets nearer to November. When it gets a bit closer and we're talking about one game away.
Yeah, and countdown's on, isn't it? Yeah.
I think you may find one or two pulling out of tackles that they might go in for a week before. and you can't blame them.
No.
Everybody wants to play in the World
Cup. That's huge, isn't it? Yeah.
For the country. So, you know, I am looking forward to it. But nobody knows how it's going to pan out, Dave, because it's never happened before, has it?
No.
You know, I've always thought that the top level could do with the 2 weeks, that first 2 weeks of January.
Yes.
I've always thought
the break.
Yes, they should have a break in that a couple of weeks. Because it is, I know people say they get paid for doing it, but it's a long 10 months, week in, week out, for some of the quality that you see nowadays. The physical, the sort of quality, the strength of the fitness that they attain now, to maintain that for 10 months. So it will. I think all the fitness guys and will be looking at the World Cup and their own players, and they all have stats, don't they? All have stats.
Yeah. I mean,
fitness guy always used to say to me pre-season, I think we've done enough, gaffer.
Mm.
And I used to say, well, I'm the gaffer. I do it in my eyes, not on your stats. Mm-hmm. We're going to do another run. And I said to the lads, he says you've done enough.
Yeah.
I know you haven't.
Yeah.
We're going to do one more run. And if you do it inside 60 seconds, you can go and watch Wimbledon now.
Brilliant.
At 1 o'clock, or we can do two runs if you don't get up to that time.
Yeah.
So up to you, lads.
Man management.
Yeah.
The very art of it.
And then they used to go and watch Wimbledon, whereas a lot of clubs trained in the afternoon as well.
So, and you always got significantly less when that running session started post-lunchtime when it was 2 o'clock.
It was
that natural lull in the day. But yeah, that jogs my memory of doing that way. Ours would always be, right, if the goalie...
Would you have a shower in between?
Yes, of course.
Yeah, yeah, I know.
I'm a very hygienic fellow.
And then you start up again. I could never understand it, Dave. And I thought, I'm not having my lads having a shower, imagine, and then coming and having a warm-up.
Yeah, ready to go again.
And I thought, they don't need that.
No.
I think mentally, my lads were better and more fitter by being mentally strong,
yes,
knowing that if they gave me a longer, probably a 20-minute longer session in the morning, and they put it in, and then I finished it off myself, that they knew they could go home and, like I say, watch Wimbledon.
The great thing with that is as well, when you, because it's about breeding that togetherness, and whether there was a fall guy, be it the fitness coach or the physio, right, lads, he's saying you've got to do this, but if you do this for me, you'll do me, and we'll get over the line together as a team. Ours was always, if the goalie got in inside a certain time, you'd be all right. So you'd have everyone around the pitch cheering the goalie through. I mean, bless him, he probably, I'm in my head, and he was never my goalkeeper, but I'm picturing Paddy Kenny bursting round a running track with likes of Michael Brown and Tongi, people like screaming for him to get in. If he got in, that covered the basis for everyone. And again, it goes back to what you said, it sows the seed, and people might think it's a bit of a stretch, but doing that on a baking hot day in July is the same as everyone clubbing together halfway through a game in January when it's
correct
chucking it down, when there's yeah. points at stake, when you've got to go out there to really make sure you get over the line.
See, what you're saying is, for me, the art of management still is, in the year 2022, I think 95% of man management, successful man management, is man management. Mm-hmm. I said about management, is man management. Mm. There's no diplomas for man management. You get a diploma for your technical stuff and your tactics and all this.
Formation.
Yeah. but man management, you can't put a price on that. You can't put into a course. Mm. You know, they get a degree now, don't they? A diploma. And you can't put that into that. And it doesn't matter what level you are. It's just as hard to motivate your top-class internationals than it is on the non-league scene. Are you with me? Mm-hmm. But I managed at Gainsborough like I managed at Cardiff. Yeah. With me, the same principles at there. You try and look. You don't go to a club and decide I'm going to play this way.
Yeah.
You go to a club. You look at what you have in that dressing room. What ability you've got. What players you've got. And then you design a system to suit that. Mm-hmm. A lot of people get. It's only like basic coaching, Dave. Basic coaching, when I watch a Sunday League or anything else, and I look at coaches, they've got a piece of paper up here, and they go A, B, C, and we finish at D. Mm-hmm. Now, when you're coaching at any level, when you start off at level A, and you coach at level A, you don't go on to level B until you've succeeded at A. So if you improve the player in that session, that's coaching. Mm-hmm. Whereas a lot go carry on A, B, C, and finish at that, and that's not coaching for me. It's getting a little bit, making the player improve in a little bit in your session, every session. That's what I've tried to do, really, all the way through.
Speaking of man management, my job with this is to manage us, manage you, keep you interested, keep you intrigued, keep you enthused. I think that's about it for today. How have you found it, our first in-person chat?
It's nice. I think when you have, you know, when you've retired a little bit or what have you, in your thoughts, you know, I keep saying to people, I can't come out of retirement till February, March time, because it's too long a year for me coming at this time of the year.
Yeah.
But February, March, about 20, 15
after
games
hibernation,
to go. But no, I've enjoyed it. I mean, we haven't planned. I know you're the organiser, thank goodness.
I'm taking full credit for that. Yeah.
I do need organising. but it's amazing what comes back in talks that we've not planned. Are you with me?
Absolutely.
And I think that's what I like about this podcast. I have enjoyed it. I never thought I'd ever do podcasts or Twitter or things like that. And I have enjoyed it, if I'm honest.
Well, it's good to hear. And we've got plenty of things to talk about in the coming weeks, plenty of special guests. But just thanks again, Neil. It's great to see you. Right, if you've enjoyed this episode, please like, subscribe, leave your comments. We'll read the best ones out, of course. We're all here for constructive criticism and unadulterated praise. So thanks for joining us on Die for 3 Points, and we shall see you again next week.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.